Good morning. How many of you here this morning were born in Austin? Got a few? How many of you here are in Austin because somebody brought you here? You didn't come of your own free will, like you got here because somebody else brought you here. How many of you are here because you picked Austin and you want to live here, so like you just made your way here, okay? Quite a few of you. And, you know, when we think about our city, there are lots and lots of reasons why people want to be in Austin. In fact, all you have to do is Google cool things about Austin or the best thing about Austin or why people are moving to Austin, and you'll come up with all kinds of information. For example, Money Magazine did a study of the 40 largest cities in the United States as far as quality of life. And Austin, last year, 2006, was picked number two. Number two out of 40 cities in the United States, the 40 largest cities, because of things like education, cost of living, economic opportunity, cultural value. I mean, all those kind of things. We're the number two city in the United States as voted the best places to live. If you get on the the Chamber of Commerce website, you'll find out we're number one, two, three, four in a whole bunch of categories. For example, best big city place to live, number one; best city for Hispanics, voted number one; best large city for relocating families, number two in the United States, which is interesting because we're also, Forbes picked the city as the eighth best city for single people to live. So it's a great city for families, and it's a great city for singles, which is unusual because usually a city will lean one way or the other. Cool cities, number three. But that was picked by Kiplinger. I'm like, what does Kiplinger know about cool? You know, I think we're probably number one, don't you guys? Let's take a poll. How many of you think we're number one? Oh, overwhelming. Yeah, we got that one. Number three in the top growth cities, number three in the greatest places to live, Life Magazine, number four fastest growing cities, Men's Journal. Smartest cities, number four, Men's Journal. I'll bet the Women's Journal would have voted us higher than that. Smarter women in the city than men, that's for sure. Got a yes out of that one. It's a great place to live, and you add in the education, the high tech, the University of Texas, music, the weather, dry and arid, no longer. I mean, this is just a great place to live in, and you're not the only one who wants to live here. You may not know this, but Forbes magazine just did a study of the fastest growing suburbs from 2000 to 2006. Cedar Park, Texas, number 11 in the United States, fastest growing suburb. In that 6-year period, Cedar Park went from 26,000 to 53,000 people in the past 6 years. And see, you thought that tollway was going to relieve congestion? I don't think so. People want to be here. People are coming. This is a great place to live, and people are showing up here. And as we wrestle with the cool things about being here and so forth, I guess the question I want to put before you today is to really understand, why are you here? Are you here based on circumstances? Are you here based on your personal choice? Are you here based on economics? Are you here because mom and dad? I mean, what put you here? And while you're thinking about that, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, because we're going to get some insight into why we're here from looking at an old passage written by a prophet who is speaking on behalf of God. As you're turning there, let me just tell you where we are. This year, we launched into this journey to really understand what God wanted for our church. And as we started the year, after a period of prayer and really wrestling with what God wants and what God wants for us, we came to understand that what God is telling us is that we as a church need to become a community for the community. In other words, the community of the kingdom of Christ followers. That's who we need to be, but not just for ourselves, for the community in which we live. And so, as a community of Christ followers, we began to study, what does that look like? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Jesus said, let your good deeds so be evident, shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's an awesome thing to think about. Is it possible that I could live in this community in such a way that the things I do and the things I say make such a significant contribution, make such a significant impact on this community that when people see those things, they're attracted to them and they look at those things, but they don't see me. They look right past me and they see my God. When they look at me and they look at what I'm doing, they see behind that there's a motivation. There's an inspiration. There's a power. There's an authority. There's a compassion. There's a righteousness. There's a justice that transcends anything that any individual could gin up in their own ability. It would be something that would be supernatural in nature so that when people look at us, they give glory to God. Now, we understood that's what we are called to do. That's what we are called to be. That's why God has placed us in this community. And we're becoming a community for the community. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the whole issue of my community life. As I live in this community, what does the Bible say my responsibility is? And this morning, we're going to just ask the question, why am I here? Does the Bible tell me why I'm here? Next week, we're going to look at the whole issue of citizenship. What does the Bible say about me being a citizen in this community, and what are my responsibilities, and what does that look like for a Christian to engage culture in that way? And then 2 weeks from now, we're going to look at the whole issue of the people in our community that are underprivileged. Are there needs in our community that are going unmet, and do I have a responsibility as I live in this community to do something to help, and what would that look like? Immediately following that, we're going to take a look at work. Since that's what most of us do with most of our time, whether you're a student, whether you're a homemaker, whether you work in an office, whether you work outdoors in the sun, whether you are retired, most of us have something that we're doing on a day-to-day basis. Oftentimes it has to do with bringing home the bacon. Sometimes it doesn't. But things that we're doing on a day-to-day basis that we would call our work life. And everybody has a work life. What does that look like? So we're going to spend several weeks looking at what work is all about and how we're supposed to view that as Christian people. So that's where we're headed. But this morning we're asking the question, why am I here? Why am I here in Austin? And as we do that, I want us to focus in on this passage in Jeremiah 29. Now let me give you the history of the background of this passage. The nation of Israel has declined in their power because of their worship of false gods. And the other nations have risen in power. And after a number of years of being attacked by the Assyrians faded off the scene, and Babylon has now risen to power. Babylon the Great has now taken over most of the ancient world. And three times in a short period of time, they've invaded Israel, they've attacked the city of Jerusalem, they've sacked the city, and three times they've carried a group of people into captivity. And this final time, they round up those people who are left that can still walk, and they force march them for 900 miles across the desert from what we know as modern day Israel to modern day Iraq. You guys have seen the images of what life is like in that desert. They marched them 900 miles and relocated them in Babylon. So the people of Israel are now in Babylon. You would say these people are victims of the power struggles of their day. You would say these people are refugees living in a foreign land, in a foreign culture, where they don't speak the language, they don't know the customs, they're starting economically at the bottom of the shelf. Their lives have been ripped from them. Their things have been taken away from them. Every one of them has at least one or two family members that have been killed in the battle or died on the forced march. They're a group of people that have been devastated, and they find themselves living in the city of Babylon. What are they supposed to do? Well, through the prophet Jeremiah, God begins to speak, and look what God says starting in verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, it's strange because I'm thinking the Babylonians carried them into Babylon. But God is telling the people, you are here because I carried you here. In fact, he says it again in verse 7. He says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. In other words, God is telling them, you may think you're here because the Babylonians put you here, but you're really here because I brought you here. By application, you may think that you're in Austin because Dell Computers brought you here. But if you believe in a sovereign God, it's not Dell Computers, it's not your parents, it's not the music scene. There's some hand that's bigger in your life that placed you here and now for a purpose. In fact, Paul says that in Acts chapter 17, let me put it up here so you can follow along. Paul says, from one man, he, that's God, made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. Now look at this next phrase. And he, that would be God, determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. In other words, in history, God was shaping the movements of people and appointing times in history for people to live and actually the location where they would live. You're not in Austin, Texas by accident. You're in Austin, Texas because God has placed you here. You're not in this community simply because mom and dad put you here. You're in this community because the sovereign hand of God is moving and shaping and working in the world so that the decisions and the circumstances of your life have placed you in this community, in this time, and I would say for a purpose. So our first principle of why we're here is we were sent to Austin on a mission. We were sent to Austin on a mission. The idea of being sent and the idea of a missionary is really the same thing. In Scripture, someone who's sent on behalf of God, someone who's a missionary or on mission on behalf of God, that's the same thing. He's telling the people of Israel, I'm the one who sent you or carried you to Babylon. I've got something for you to do there. I'm the one who sent you to Austin. I've got something for you to do as your part in this community. You're not here by accident, but you're here for mission. Second principle we see starting in verse 5. In verse 5 he says to them, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. What's he telling them? He's telling them that they need to build a life there. And they may think, you know, I'm a refugee. I'm going to keep my suitcases packed. First chance I get, I'm getting out of here. He doesn't tell them to do that. He tells them, listen, I want you to settle into the community, to make a life there, to build a life there. And that's what he's calling us to do as well. We were sent on mission to this community. It's our responsibility to build our life here and to become part of this community where we live. It's interesting, he tells them to build homes. Build homes. Plant vineyards. Plant a garden. That would be the equivalent in an agrarian society of start a business. Make a living for yourself. Have kids. Have your kids get married. Well, I'm not bringing kids into this world. Look at the mess. We're right in the middle of Babylon. It's a pagan culture. We need to stay away from these people. No, have kids. Have them get married. Build a life here. Your job is to be part of this community. I see so many Christians, they want a fortress. It's kind of like, if I can get my privacy fence and my garage door closer to kind of close out the world, if I can find a way to isolate from the community around me, then I'll be safe. I'll be protected. I can keep my religious views. I can keep my political views. I can keep my biases. I can find people to hang out that think like me, and we'll all huddle together. And he doesn't tell the Jews, hey, you guys go find your own little ghetto, build your own little world. He tells them, move into the community, settle down, become part of this community. That's your responsibility. They're not there by accident. They're there on mission. And in addition to that, their goal is to become not half there, but fully present. But fully present. I know some of you students feel like you're in a particular school district or school because that's where mom and dad wanted you to go, and you're sitting in class and you don't like the teachers and you don't like stuff that's going on, and maybe the pressure's getting to you and you don't like the coaches, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I'm just going to be half here. I'm just surviving. I'm going to survive till I can get away from all of this. Till I get away from all of this. You know what? You're missing out on life. God's got you there right now for a very specific purpose. And you can try to just kind of skate through it and ignore it, but when you do that, you're missing life. Some of you are thinking, you know, I've got this job, and I just hate it, and I'm only half there. So, you know, if I can just survive and do the minimal to get by, you know, I only have 15 years and I can retire. 15 years of your life? Only being half there? Or, you know, I hate the allergies in Austin, but we got some property up in Colorado. And so every day, you know, I check the weather in Colorado. Hey, no mold. I just can't wait. You know, 5 more years and we'll be able to afford to move there. And you're only half here. And your life is going by. He tells these guys, move in, settle down, make this your home, become part of this thing, capture your life, capture these days. They're the ones I've given you. I put you here for a purpose. Make something of it. Next thing he tells them is really astonishing. In verse 7, he says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now he's telling these people to begin to seek and pray for the success of the very enemies that have carried them into captivity. He's telling them, these people that their families and their armies have killed your brothers and your sisters and your aunts and uncles, who drug you away from your home, your place of worship, everything that's comfortable and meaningful to you. You know what? You're not there to hate. You're not there to isolate. You're not there to condemn or accuse or judge. You know what you're there to do? You're there to seek their best. You're there for their benefit. You've been moved into the city so that the city will be better because you are there. Now, he tells them to seek and pray for two things. First one is peace. The word peace is the Hebrew word, which means shalom. It's really hard to translate, because when we think of peace, we think of the opposite of war. You know, everybody's not fighting. But the concept of shalom is much bigger than that. It's a word that we could translate wellness or wholeness. It's a word that speaks of the benefits of a geography being shared by all the people. And so when we talk about seeking and praying for the wholeness of our city, when we think about praying and seeking the prosperity of our city, what we're actually talking about is that we were sent to Austin to make this place prosper, to make it a better place. Austin ought to be a better place because we are here. When I think of wholeness, I think of things like our environment. And what are we doing to encourage a great environment in our city? When I think of wholeness, I think of health and health care. What are we doing to encourage and promote good health care? When I think of wholeness, I think of education. What are we doing to make education better in our city? You know, a bunch of you guys are going to send your kids off to school in just a couple weeks. And as they're going off to school, you're going to be on your knees praying for the peace and prosperity of your individual child. You know, some of you are going to helicopter right on and, you know, stay with them to make sure that that happens. This passage is not telling us to seek the peace and prosperity of our own. It's telling us to seek the peace and prosperity of the whole, because what it tells us is that if the whole prospers, then we prosper too. So in addition to praying for your child, why not pray for the school district that your child is going to? Why would you not pray for the school board, the superintendents, the principals, the administrators, the teachers? Pray for the coaches? That every child would benefit from quality education and a quality education experience, not just yours. But keep in mind that if everybody's benefiting, then you're going to benefit too. Prosperity. Seeking prosperity. We'd be talking about economic development. We'd be talking about good transportation. We would be talking about quality government that supports every individual, not just a few. That would be seeking the prosperity and praying for the prosperity of our city. Do you pray for your employer? You know, anybody that doesn't pray for their employer is not thinking real well. You know, some people pray for the demise of their employer. You know, my boss, they're so hard. I just hope that God, you get them. Well, when they get them, what's that going to do to you? Duh. Ooh. Are you praying for your employer? Are you praying for the Austin City Council? Are you praying for the mayor of Cedar Park, who's a member of our church and would love your prayers? Are you praying for our state government? That's what we're supposed to be about. Is this place ought to be a better place? Because the presence of God embodied in God's people has been planted here in our community. And we live it out by praying for and seeking the betterment of the place we live. Because Hill Country Bible Church Northwest is in Northwest Austin. Because we're in Cedar Park, Leander. Because we're in Steiner Ranch, because we're in Anderson Mill Subdivision, because we're in the mountain, because we're in Avery Ranch, communities all around here. Those places ought to be some of the best places to live. Because Hill Country Bible Church is in Northwest Austin. The employers who employ people in our community, this ought to be one of the best places to go to work. It ought to be one of the best places to go to work. Because we are in this area, this ought to be the best place to go to school. Not because we're great, but because our God is great and we are seeking the peace and prosperity of this community. And when we do, you know what? Verse tells us it benefits us as well. It benefits us as well. The fourth principle that he gives to him here is found in the next few verses. If you drop down to verse 10, it says, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and I will fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." The promise is that after 70 years of them being away, of them learning their lessons, of them beginning to seek God, of them beginning to rely on God, that God is going to come and get them and take them back to the promised land. But in the meantime, during those 70 years, they're in Babylon and their job is to make it the best place that they can possibly make it through the help of God. Now what God is doing is he's teaching the nation a lesson. For you see, from the time of Abraham, when Abraham was called to be a blessing to the nations, the nation of Israel received blessings from God so that they could share that good news with the nations around them. But rather than being a people that was generous, that reached out, that communicated the love and the presence of God, what they did was they took all those blessings and they hoarded it to themselves. And they looked down on every other nation. In fact, there were periods of time in Jewish history where the Jews viewed every non-Jew as subhuman. Because they had the blessing of God. And the Gentiles were dogs as far as they were concerned. When God takes them into captivity, and now they're praying for their enemies, and living with them, and learning that God cares for these people, they began to develop much more of a missional mindset. And so they came up with the concept of the synagogue, outposts of teaching, where throughout the empire they couldn't come back to Jerusalem and worship anymore. So they planted these missional structures to begin to teach. In fact, the concept of the local church is very much born from what takes place there in the synagogue and with the elders who lead the synagogue. And so God is doing a new thing in them. And I believe that God is calling us to be involved in doing a new thing too. My fourth principle is that we were sent to Austin to grow missional structures. We were sent to Austin to grow missional structures. We were sent here to come up with ways to meet the needs of our community and connect people with God. And it's going to require a lot of creativity and a lot of divine inspiration for us to think new thoughts of how we can touch people's lives in meaningful ways to make things better for them and to point them to our motivation, which is God Himself. Now, I just want to give you just some ideas of how that's happening right now at Hill Country Bible Church. So let me just give you some ideas. One of the ministries that I'm really excited about is our torch ministry. Our torch ministry. You see the picture there. These guys have figured out a way to minister to aliens. Torch ministry started when a couple of dads, because they love their sons and they enjoy motocross and trail riding, they started doing things together, and over time they thought, well, this would be a way to promote unity between fathers and sons, so they started inviting their friends, and they got involved with them, and as the group began to grow and develop some community, they started looking for ways to reach out to people that are not in the faith, and found that there are a whole bunch of people out there that are looking for a wholesome environment to get together with their kids and do something fun together. And in the process of that, they've started to see this ministry grow and reach out to all kinds of people. So you got a guy from Hill Country Bible Church, a guy from another local church in the area, come together, and they're reaching lots and lots of people. And they've started a study during the week where they bring in an expert to talk about some technique or some way to maintain your motorcycle, and then they have somebody share their testimony. They're starting to see people come to faith. One of the riders had a fire in their house, and so they got all the riders together, and they went over and helped this guy and provided for him. And they're starting to see lots and lots of people that are coming together that are building community, people that would never walk through the doors of a church, but they love to ride motorcycles, and they love their families, and they're building community and coming to faith. Another one that's along the same lines of following a hobby is our Fishers of Men ministry. Now, Fishers of Men is actually, it's a national ministry, and the goal of Fishers of Men is to provide a professional-type fishing experience for those people who are serious anglers. Only this local chapter with some of the guys from our church, they've really begun to reach out, and their goal is to see people connected, to see people enjoy themselves, to see people connect with nature, and in the process to build bridges that are creating opportunities for evangelism. Now, through fishing, this group of folks, they've already seen, just this year alone, they've already seen 16 people place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, 28 recommit their lives to Jesus Christ, and 7 baptized. People that are not going to come here because you know what they're doing on Sunday morning? They're fishing. Pray for the peace and prosperity of our community. In the spring when we did our survey, to find out what you guys are doing in your community life and what you're doing in your work life, we asked the question, how many of you are involved in some kind of a nonprofit volunteer organization where you volunteer your time on a nonprofit basis to help someone out? And in our church that Sunday morning, 472 people told us that you personally volunteer time in a nonprofit organization to better our community. And my suspicion is that if you just went with occasional events, we would be much higher than that. My suspicion is we'd have 35 or 40% of you that view your commitment to this community and making it better significant enough that you're volunteering some of your time to help other people. That's illustrated in the call we got last week from the principal of Westwood High School. She called up to say, are you guys going to come and help us pass out textbooks again? And a lot of you who don't live in the world of education don't realize that there are a lot of tasks that have to be done that take away from the opportunity just to teach. And so when it comes to distributing textbooks to the 2,600 kids in one high school, not to mention the fact that we got five of them that are that big, think of the amount of time it takes for teachers and administrators just to get the textbooks out. So at a time when teachers are trying to focus on getting prepared to receive students, they have to do administration. And so for a number of years, we've had a number of volunteers that go up and spend several days just distributing textbooks. You know what they're doing? They're helping the community. They're helping our education system. They're giving teachers the opportunity to focus on what they do best, and that's educate our kids. And there are myriads and myriads and myriads of examples of people at Hill Country Bible Church that are involved in just making this place a better place to live, and in the process of doing, showing off God and God's glory. Let me give you one more. I call it the Steiner model. How many of you all here live in Steiner Ranch? A few of you guys live in Steiner Ranch. Well, you guys in Steiner Ranch got together and said, what can we do to make this a great neighborhood? And so you guys began to sponsor some things. For the past 2 years now, they're going on their third year, they've sponsored a 5K run and fitness day to help the community become more healthy. And in the process, to build better community, better health, stronger relationships, and connect people with Jesus Christ. And so October 27th, is that the day of the next one? Nobody wants to fess up. I heard Dwayne McNally's actually going to run this year, chairman of our elder board. And some of the rest of you could use it too. And me. In addition to that, they've decided to do movies in the park. And for the past several months, they just go set up a big screen in the park, advertise it to the community, family-friendly movie. And just invite people to come together, to enjoy relationship, to build community, to make it a better place to live. And in the process, to identify people on their faith journey and help them know and understand who God is. And that's just an example of a group of people that are part of our small group ministry getting together and saying, how can we make this neighborhood a better place for the glory of God? You see, those are the kinds of missional structures. They're the kinds of stepping outside the box, doing something unique to minister to people, to reach people, to touch people, to help in this community that we've been placed in to be salt and light, to display the glory of God for the good of all. And that's what God is calling us to do. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. God's got something for you, and He wants you to do it. He wants you to find it. He wants you to live it out. If you say, well, you know, I'm so busy, this stuff just goes by me, I need some help. Give me something I can do. In your bulletin, there's a whole list of community service activities that are going to be coming up this fall. And you may be able to volunteer an afternoon or a couple hours here or there. And in the process of that, allow God to speak to you, because that may be the catalyst to get you involved in something that you can really be able to say, I know God placed me in this community, and I know that God is using me to make a difference for Him. Now, as we wrap up, I want you to know that there are big missional things that are taking place. And today we come to a time in our service where we want to dedicate a couple of those missional activities that are really huge. All of you know that we as a church are committed to reach every man, woman, and child in Greater Austin. And part of the way we do that is by planting churches. And we've seen two of them planted already this year, Hill Country Bible Church Hutto and Hill Country Bible Church Leander. And these candles back here that are lit represent the churches that have been planted that are part of our association. Well, on September 9th, our association is going to launch three more. And I want you to... I want you to see... two of them, one of them is being launched by Hill Country Bible Church, Pflugerville, which will be a granddaughter church, and then one of them is a partnership that we're going to have right here with Austin Chinese Church. Watch what's taking place.
Hi, I'm John Harrington, and I'm the Director of Church Planting here at Hill Country Bible Church, and we are so excited about this thing that's about to happen in September. We're going to see the birth of a new baby, and a grandbaby. Now, I have experience at this thing of having babies. We have four children, and there's nothing like the excitement of that. And I understand those of you who have had grandchildren that it's equally as exciting. And so we're going to experience both of these things in September as we see Hill Country Bible Church number 8 and 9. One is a baby and one is a grandbaby. And we're excited about seeing both of those birthed. And not only that, we're seeing another child birth that's a like-minded partner with us, with the Austin Chinese Church, that's going to be meeting even on our facility grounds as they launch their services coming this fall as well. So take a look at these churches as they say hello to you today.
Hi, I'm Keith Ferguson, the lead pastor of Hill Country Bible Church Round Rock North, and we are just so excited to launch on September the 9th. It's been an amazing ride to see all that God's done in getting us to this day. We've got about 45 core families that are coming with us from Hill Country Bible Church Pflugerville and Northwest, and we've already seen God bring us about another dozen families from our community who've connected up with us. It's also been awesome to see God go in front of us as He's opened up the YMCA in Round Rock. And we are just really excited to see what He's going to do in reaching the people in our community, the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ.
I'm Pastor Shi from Austin Chinese Church. I'm a coordinating pastor, and by God's grace, we are going to have Austin Chinese Church Northwest Branch, and they will meet. They will have the first Sunday service in September the 9th. By God's grace and the generosity of Hill Country Bible Church, they're going to meet here. And we thank you for the opportunities, you know, two churches we can work together. There's no east and west in Christ. My name is Pastor John. 10 days ago, I came from Los Angeles to Austin. With my old co-workers, we're going to establish a church here. We have 60 to 70 brothers and sisters. Austin Church has prepared for a branching for many years. Our vision is 3 years. In 3 cities, we're going to reach 300 people. In my heart, I have a touch. I know God's will to establish Chinese church here in this community. There's a Chinese population increasing. By God's the grace and the church here, God's name will be glorified. We are blessed to have a double blessing. Not from Mother Church, Austin Chinese Church. Also from Hill Country Bible Church's welcome and gratitude. Thank you very much. God bless you all.